Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, man. I'm doing okay, man. Glad to have you on the show as always.
Hey, glad to be on as usual.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking us out on this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to talk about how the Mets and the Yankees are doing. The Mets had their Hall of Fame ceremony earlier this afternoon, and that was only the only good thing to happen so far this weekend for the Mets. But we're going to get into that. We'll also talk about the Yankees. We'll talk about the NBA Finals and the last recap of, the Celtics losing to the Heat. And the Nuggets, knocking LeBron out and the Lakers, and we'll also tell you what happened in the world of WWE and AEW. CM Punk confirmed for the AEW Collision Saturday night show. Coming up in the, what was it, the 17th, I think, or the 16th, I can't remember, I'd have to look. I think it's the 17th, I'd have to double check. But in any case, we'll talk about all the stuff that's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. And, we look forward to hearing what your thoughts are. And if you want to voice your opinion, you ladies and gentlemen, you all know the deal. Feel free to call in. 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We definitely would love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk Mets baseball. The Mets, they were playing well early on this week. They had like a seven-game homestand. The baby Mets, as in, Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos, and of course, Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor were playing well. But now it's a whole new story. The Mets are getting their butts handed to them by the Blue Jays. The offense is cold, colder than Antarctica right now, man. Like, it's the starting pitching, it's bounced back. You had Scherzer and Verlander pitch well. Lately, the pitchers, the Mets, when they have starters go, complete at least six innings, they're like, I think 16-0 or something like that. Like, they're undefeated, and not to mention they've won 120 games in a row when they led after the eighth inning. So the Mets have been playing good on that aspect. But, right now the offense is really cold right now. Pete Alonso, he leads the majors with 20 home runs, but he's like two for his last 20 right now. Lindor, he has a low batting average. It's probably, 215 right about now. But he has like 40 RBIs because he was clutch earlier on, but he's cooled off. Mark Canha is the only guy on the team that's, doing his thing, and he single-handedly destroyed the Phillies. Now the Phillies know what it feels like. Back in the days, Pat Burrell used to kill the Mets. You know, he was a Met killer wearing that Phillies uniform. Now Mark Canha is a Philly killer wearing the Mets uniform. So now they know how, you know, hey, man, just, I mean, the last 2 years, man, after what Mark Canha has been doing, man, he could retire a Met. He could be a guy off the bench and just start against the Phillies for all I care, man, because he's, you know, he's been doing his thing. Like, there was one game he literally knocked in all four runs, you know, against the Phillies. And, you know, the Mets, they swept the Phillies. You know, Max Scherzer, he struck out 9 to put the boom on the Phillies. And then, you know, now that the Blue Jays came in, now, you know, we can't even win a game no more. We can't even do Mac a favor and, you know, win some games for you know, Mac and the Yankees.
Yeah,
know,
man.
So,
beat those Pirates.
We're trying, man. We're trying to whoop these guys behind, but, you know, we lost a tough game, 2-1. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, did his dad's impression and, you know, knocked in what was supposed to be the game winner, you know, off Robertson, you know, with 2 outs. And, you know, the Mets, man, they had a 1-0 lead when Daniel Vogelbach finally, you know, came through in the clutch and knocked in the run, I think, in the second inning, make it 1-0. And, of course, you know, that lead eventually evaporated, I think, in the 6th inning. They tied the game up. You know, the 9th inning, I think it was? No, I think it was – yeah, it was the 9th inning. The 9th inning is when Vladimir Guerrero knocked in the – what proved to be the game winner. Final score 2-1. And then Friday night – Chris Bassitt, you know, he went back to his Shield days, became the Bassitt Hound of Justice and you know, blanked the Mets. You know, he went 6 2/3 of an inning, shut down the Mets. I mean, Verlander pitched well, but Bassitt was better. I mean, Bassitt, you know, he was rushing to go home after the game because his wife was in labor. I haven't heard any updates, but, you know, if, you know, if the child is born already, congratulations. Let me see if there's any update with that as we speak. But yeah, man, the Mets. The Mets. They gotta try to avoid this. This sweep.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing more to say about that, really.
What do you think needs to improve on the Mets side? Do you think the offense, you guys need more offense, or what do you think needs to change right now?
Oh, definitely the offense. The Mets are stagnant right now. I mean, the young guys, you know, they've been playing well for the most part lately, but this series, you know, the league caught up to them. You know, now the league, you know, they're throwing these devastating curveballs and off-speed pitches to Beatty. And, you know, the young guys are slumping now. Francisco Alvarez, man, he hit 7 of his 8 home runs recently. But, now the Mets they got to bounce back, you know. They got to – and Senga, he's going to be pitching for the first time on regular's rest. You know, he's always had extra rest so far in his career, but now the big test is going to be against the Blue Jays on regular 4 days rest and pitch on the 5th day. And he dominated the Phillies as well. And supposedly he really wanted to face the Phillies. I don't know, maybe the Phillies didn't draft him and he held a grudge. I don't know. Maybe he knows. Maybe he knows the Phillies, you know, the Mets fans don't like the Phillies, and that's why he really wanted to face them badly for some reason. But, yeah, he pitched his best game. I think he went 7 innings, struck out 9. And then not to mention earlier this year, he struck out 12, this young season. So, yeah, Senga now because of the Mets' horrible offense, now they got to look to Senga to right the ship because, Yeah, it's a bad opportunity, man, against the Blue Jays, man. George Springer, man, he just, you know, he keeps torching the Mets. He had a leadoff home run in the first game off Verlander, and the Mets haven't led ever since.
Yeah, I mean, something needs to change with the Mets. When I skimmed through the channel today, I saw that there was a player, I don't remember who, but he ended up being called because he violated the pitch clock.
Mm-hmm.
Not the pitch clock, is that what it's called, the pitch clock, right?
Yeah, it is called the pitch clock.
Yeah, he violated. That's the first time I've seen that this year.
No, it's happened a few times.
Been called out. Were you guys?
Yeah, with us, I think somebody got called out. It was yesterday too. I think I can't remember if it was a Blue Jay or the Mets.
Oh, yeah, this pitch clock is crazy. But yeah, something needs to change with the Mets, man. You guys gotta do better in hitting the runners on base.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys like 1-for-8 today?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, we only scored one run, and yeah, it's been dreadful. We left a bunch of people on base. You know, people scattering hits. You know, one inning here, one inning there, one inning over there. You walk two people, and then you still can't score. Like, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no excuse. You know,
how are the Mets looking in the standings right now?
I think they're in third place. Last time I checked, mm-hmm. I think it's the Marlins are on top of them in the second spot. They gotta get their act together, man. You know, but there's nothing more to say. Like, the Braves is up as you would expect. Marlins are 3 games behind the Braves. The Mets are 4 games back. Phillies are 7.5, and the Nationals are 8.5 back. The only highlight of today's game, or today I should say, is that the Mets honored their greats. They honored Howard Johnson, obviously a player on the 86 team that basically had his best seasons, after the 86 season, when he had 3 seasons of the 30-30. Then you also had Al Leiter, he was on the 99 and 2000 playoff teams. And of course, he helped the Mets become National League champions in 2000, and, 99, he pitched that, one game playoffs, against the shutout against the Reds, grew up a Mets fan, so when he joined the Mets, that's when him and Piazza joined the Mets in the late 90s, 99 to be exact. I think they both joined the Mets in 98, I should say, but me being a Mets fan since 99, those guys, especially Leiter in particular, he always wear his heart on his sleeve. This guy always wanted to pitch a perfect game. When he gives up a hit or a walk, he's fuming. Like you really saw how much it really meant to him. And, it's great to see that, he's getting his respect, and he's finally a Met Hall of Famer. He started his career with the Yankees. I think he ended his career with the Yankees as well. But to us, he's a Met. He's an unofficial homegrown Met, even though he's not really a homegrown Met, but this guy grew up a Met fan, and he really bleed orange and blue, and I'm glad he had the opportunity to be inducted by the team he rooted for. And then the same thing with Gary Cohn and Howie Rose. They like Al Leiter, they all three grew up Mets fans. So, it was just a great day to see those guys get inducted. And I'm pretty sure that you didn't see the highlights, but Marv Albert actually did a tribute video for both Harry Rose and Gary Cohn about,
wow,
you know,
nice.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, Marv Albert did pop up a few weeks ago, but it was a nice surprise to see Marv Albert, you know, do an homage to those guys, especially when those guys, you know, attribute Marv Albert as one of their influences, you know, in sports. You know, obviously
very
they
nice.
Looked at the Marv Albert and, of course, you know, Bob Murphy, to name a few, you know, since, you know, Bob Murphy was part of the original trio of Mets baseball for 17 years, you know, him, Lindsey Nelson, Ralph Kiner, who was a Hall of Fame player, home run hitting guy, before he even, you know, he retired and, you know, started his career with the Mets. And then now Gary Cohn, you know, he's part of the great Mets broadcast on SNY with two great 86 players in Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling. And, you know, they just surpassed Murphy, Nelson, and Kiner for the most years as a Met broadcasters by 1 year. So now they've been doing it for this is their 18th season, and I'm happy for them. You know, congratulations. And Harry Rose, he threw out his horrible first pitch a few days ago, but you know, he redeemed himself with the ceremonial first pitch. You know, the guys on SNY were criticizing him about it, but to their mm-hmm. credit, they all threw the ball well today. So, you know, Harry Rose redeemed himself. And then shout out to Jay Horowitz, the Mets PR guy since 1980. He got an honorary induction for his service and, you know, how he gets along with, you know, Met players and even players from other teams. You know, he's been part of the Met family for almost half a century. So props to him as well. But, you know, the worst thing about it was the Mets, you know, the offense was non-existent. So back to the drawing board, and they got to hope Senga has a good game tomorrow, and you know we'll see if Mets can right this ship before it becomes that Titanic.
Yeah, you guys definitely gotta avoid that sweep tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully Mauricio can come up soon once he shifts over to left field and prove that he could perform on, you know, on that side of the outfield. So we'll see what happened with that. But shifting gears to the Yankees, you know, after the Yankees series with the Mariners, they split the series with the Dodgers. Dodgers beat them 8-4 on Friday night. The Yankees rebound and won 6-3. And Yankees are going to try to win the series in
the
LA.
The rubber game tomorrow.
Yeah, the rubber game on ESPN. Now, what's your thoughts on this upcoming series and the Yankees series recently?
Yeah, the Yankees, they've been playing much better than they did, in the beginning of the season. Aaron Judge, you know, since he's been back, he's been on a tear. The guy's hit like 13 of – out of the last 13 games, the last 13 of the 19 games, he's hit a home run. And right now he leads the American League with 19 home runs. He hit another home run today. So he's been on fire. He was named American League Player of the Month for the month of May. And,
Didn't Donaldson hit two home runs too?
Yes. Donaldson, Donaldson hit a home run yesterday, I believe. Yeah, he had a home run yesterday, and he was on the injured list. He's come back. Also, we got back Stanton as well. who came back yesterday. I don't think he played today, I believe. Yeah, yesterday was a mess. You know, Dodgers were hitting home runs all over the place. You would have thought, you know, Rihanna was in the stands and they were showing off for Rihanna or something. You know, that's how much the Dodgers were showing off yesterday with home runs. But that game yesterday was not good. Today was a much better day. We got pitching from Gerrit Cole, who's now improved to 7-0 on the season, and he's been doing fantastic. I mean, he might have a Cy Young year.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. Yeah,
he's off to a great start, and offense is looking much better than it did earlier in the season. Right now, you know, so now that we got Donaldson and Stanton back, hopefully, you know, we can show what we're capable of, which is scoring more runs and hitting more runs that we've done earlier in the season. So good win today by the Yankees. And like you mentioned, the rubber game is tomorrow, so we'll see if they can go out and win that game. But the Yankees are playing much better right now. Right now, I think they're third in the AL East. They're behind the Orioles, and they're 6 games behind the Rays. So, I mean, it's still early. So I think we could definitely catch up to the Rays if we continue to play much better. So we'll see.
And speaking of a team that needs redemption, the Heat. Heat, they lost game one in Denver. And they're going to try to rebound tomorrow. As they lost the first game, game one, 104-93. Jimmy Butler was shut down. He only scored 13 points. Adebayo scored 26. Gabe Vincent, 19. Strauss, man, he scored 0 points in 21 minutes. I guess, you know, he felt like he ain't facing the Knicks, so I guess he thought he could take the day off, apparently, you know. And he's going to be, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's going to be a free agent. So that's not a good look for him, you know. He's going to definitely need to bounce back. Kyle Lowry only scored 11, you know. So, yeah.
Nuggets are too good, man. Nuggets are too good of a team right now. Mm-hmm. You got the Joker having a triple-double every night.
Yeah, 27 points. Mm-hmm. 14 assists and 10 rebounds, man. I mean, he dominated. And then you had Jamal Murray with 26 and 10 assists. So, I mean, yeah, they did their thing.
Yeah, I mean, Murray's playing great. He's been playing good all throughout the season. And right now he's tough to guard. And, you know, they have a good supporting cast also, the Nuggets. They have Aaron Gordon. You got Brown coming off the bench. Got Porter. I mean, they got a nice group, and they dominated the Heat, even though they almost blew that lead in that fourth quarter there. But you know, this might be an easy sweep for the Nuggets if they don't get their acts together. Butler has to play much better, and I'm hearing now that the Heat have some injuries. Caleb Martin, he might miss game two because of an injury. And it doesn't look like, even though Tyler Hero, they were expecting him back, you know, from that hand injury, it sounds like he might not play game two. But might come back maybe game three or game four. We'll see. But,
yeah, they need a real hero. He's looking like a real human being right now.
For real, yeah. They definitely need a hero against the Joker and his asylum, his Arkham Asylum. So we'll see.
Yep. For real. So, yeah, man, we shall see. Hopefully, I mean, I'm still bitter about the Heat beating us, man. So I'm rooting for the Nuggets to get their first ever championship. You know,
yeah,
so hopefully the Nuggets can keep it up. They can win game two tomorrow and put the boom on them, hopefully. But, yeah, man, the Heat is tough, man. The Heat is the first 8-seed team to make it to the playoffs since we did it in 99, so... You know, hopefully they won't party like it's 1999, but they'll suffer like we did in 1999. So,
yeah.
We'll see. We
hopefully.
Shall see. And speaking of suffering, Randall successfully had a surgery. You know, hopefully he has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, he didn't look the same in the playoffs. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe we should have rested him, or maybe he shouldn't have played in the playoffs. But then again, if he hadn't played in some of those games, who knows what could have happened? But glad that he had the surgery, and hopefully he'll come back better than ever next year. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't see him being traded to any other team.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get traded anyway. Even without the surgery, he wasn't going to get traded. You know, they believe in him. So, you know, hopefully he has a speedy recovery, you know, after having the, you know, arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle. And hopefully, you know, this injury won't be the Achilles heel for him next year going forward. So we shall see. And then I don't know if you heard about this, but the Knicks and GM Scott Perry, they mutually agreed to part ways. So, you know.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
When is this came out? Yes, today?
Yeah. Did it come? Supposedly it came out 4 days ago.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so.
What's the reason?
I don't know what the reason is. I mean, I know that in related news, the Warriors GM Bob Myers, he left, or he got fired from. I think he left. He left the Warriors, but I don't think he's gonna come to the Knicks, because he's gonna want full autonomy, and with the Knicks, you know, he's not gonna have that. You know, Leon Rose is the one that's, you know, running the show over there. So I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously, World Wide West has a voice in, you know, in the group. I mean, you know, in the team, the organization. So, yeah, man, hopefully the Knicks won't skip a beat, and they can improve this team and hopefully make it a championship caliber team in the very near future. Yeah, we shall see what happens with that.
Do you believe that during his tenure as a GM that Perry did a good job with the Knicks?
When I say he did a good job, I mean the problem is that I don't know who to attribute. Could I attribute more to him or Leon Rose? I would say he did a decent job, since we did make the playoffs 2 out of the 4 years.
Yeah, I thought he did an okay job. I mean,
yeah,
there are some moves that we you know, still question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, maybe getting what's his name from Utah. I'm forgetting the guy. You know, he's with the Cavs now. We talked about him.
I'm trying to think. Cool.
Cavs player who went to Utah. We were talking about. And we're trading him for younger guys. You know,
Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we could have traded some of these guys for him.
Yeah. I mean, that trade's not looking too good. But then again, we did beat Donovan Mitchell. But,
well, yeah, that's true, yeah.
But then again, we could have got farther had we had Donovan Mitchell on our team.
But
yeah,
he definitely could have helped in that second round against the Heat.
Yeah, against the Heat, yeah. He would have matched up well and neutralized Butler. You know, they would have had like a scoring. They would have had a, you know, like a duel with each other.
Right.
That would have been interesting to see. But, you know, Knicks got to deal with what they have. The rumor I read today was that they're thinking about trading Toppin so that they could get the 29th pick and Duarte, the guy that they could have drafted a few years ago. They could have had a few years ago.
I like Toppin, man.
Yeah,
Toppin,
I like
just
Toppin
has
too.
To improve his post game, and there's some parts of the game. There's some areas of his game he has to improve.
Yeah,
he can only get better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, to me, I would prefer to have Toppin. I would trade Randall and have Toppin start. let him mature, see where he is. Because, I mean, yeah, man, Randall, man, he's a talented dude, but I don't know, he's just too flaky at times, especially in these playoff games. Is he the main culprit? No, of course not. Everybody didn't play well. RJ Barrett, I mean, me and you were the co-presidents of the fan club, but now, man, as much as I'd like to see him on the Knicks, but if you could get a legit dude for him, I mean, I can't veto the trade. You know, I can't use my power veto as a president to of the fan club to filibuster that trade right now.
Barrett played good in the postseason, actually.
Except for that last game.
The last game, yeah, he didn't. But, you know.
The last game, he didn't, yeah.
When Randall was out or when Randall didn't play good, it was pretty much Brunson and Barrett now carrying our team in the playoffs. So Barrett did step up, you know, in the playoffs. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but he just kind of disappeared in the second half. You know, he did start off strong in the first quarter or the first half, and then after he just, like, for the most part, disappears the rest of the games. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to overanalyze it. But, I mean, for the, you know, he did show up, you know, in the playoffs, but, I mean, that last game was kind of left much to be desired. But, I mean, hey, these are growing pains, you know.
Yeah, the guy's still young. I mean, the guy's, like, what, 23 years old or something? So,
yeah.
Still got a lot of years ahead of him where he can, you know, continue to improve and mature. And
I agree with that.
We'll see what he brings to the table next season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Brunson as a point guard, so, you know, Brunson will help him get better.
Absolutely.
As far as Toppin, you know, I don't want to see him get traded. I think he has a long way to go as well. He can only get better. I disagree with you. I don't think he'd be good in the starting lineup yet. He still needs to show me more offensively, because in this playoffs, I didn't see much from him. I mean, I know at times he had some alley-oop dunks and made some shots here and there, but still needs to improve his offense. So before we put him in a starting lineup, so
I think Thibodeau got to give him a shot. But you know, obviously he's married to Randall, so he's not going to. He has Randall, so he put all his trust and faith in Randall. You know, obviously Randall's a talented dude, you know.
Yeah, but I like Toppin, but you can't argue with me and tell me that Toppin's better than Randall. I didn't say that,
but I'm saying, who knows? Maybe, you know, with some, you know, reps and, you know, opportunity, who knows what he can do if he, you know, given an opportunity. But right now, is he better than Randall? No, of course not. He's not.
No.
I'm not gonna lie to you with a, you know, a straight face, even though we're on, you know, on a radio / podcast. I mean, but, I mean, yeah.
I know Saturday night, but, you know, the drinks, you got to come back on the drinks there if you make that argument.
If I drink. But, yeah, I mean, but, yeah, obviously Randall is a better player than Toppin right now as we speak. So, which, you know. And another thing, if you trade the player, any of these players, and get somebody younger, who's to say Thibodeau's going to play these guys? Because, you know, he loves the veterans, you know, especially, you know, Randall, because of the potential Randall has. When Randall's on his game, he could be a game changer. But, you know, he's turnover happy, and, you know, and I mean, you know, what can I say? They all collectively as a team have to play better so that they could go farther. I mean, overall, it was a good season, a good regular postseason as well. But, you know, hopefully this is building blocks to grow and hopefully entice better players to come and, you know, fix the team and the culture.
Yeah, we'll see. And we'll see who our new GM is that can help that.
Yeah, we shall see. Shifting gears. Yeah, let's talk Night of Champions. What do you think about the pay-per-view event?
It was okay. Some questions on why they put some matches in the beginning instead of at the end there. Namely the
Seth Rollins
and AJ Styles match. That should have probably been the last match.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a world championship match. That should have been a match, you know, right before the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa match. Like, that should have been... That should have been the second to last match.
I agree.
But yeah,
what
since
are you thinking?
Mm-hmm. But hey, since this is the first match, Seth Rollins wins, you know, the title, the vacant title, the inaugural title. No surprise there. Then Trish Stratus defeated Becky Lynch with the help of Zoe Stark.
I thought Becky Lynch would win that match. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. I might have picked Becky Lynch as well, I think, probably. Gunther defeated Mustafa Ali. I think I picked that. I think you thought Mustafa Ali was going to win, but I'm not 100% sure.
Really? I think I went with Gunther on that one.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not 100% sure, so... Looks like, you know, if you did pick Gunther, we're both right on that.
Yeah.
Gunther retains the Intercontinental Championship. This one, you definitely had it right. Asuka defeated Bianca Belair.
I picked Asuka.
No, that's what I just said. You picked her.
Yep.
Yeah, you picked her. And, of course, Asuka, you know, she instead of spinning the green mist or... black or blue mist, whatever she wants to call it. She tried to spin on her, but she didn't get it. So what she did was put the mist in her hands and then rubbed it all over Bianca Belair's eyes, and then hit her with a couple of, you know, kicks to the head, and she's the new champion.
This is the Oscar that we've been waiting for.
Yeah, this is.
I don't know why it took so long.
Yeah, man, this is what they should have done when she faced Charlotte Flair, and then they ended her undefeated streak. She was, like, undefeated for, like, two and a half years or so from NXT to WWE, and then she loses, you know, at WrestleMania, which is, like very similar to the Patriots losing to the Giants that on their undefeated season.
Yeah. I'm glad that she won. You know, hopefully she has a long title reign, but... I think this is the end of Bianca Belair.
Oh no!
I think they'll have another match.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the Money in the Bank. What's her name? I'm trying to remember. Zelina Vega advanced on SmackDown, and on Raw. On SmackDown, LA Knight. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Zelina Vega beat Lacey Evans to advance to the Money in the Bank ladder match. And LA Knight defeated, I think it was Montez Ford, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
To advance to the Money in the Bank also.
Now, why do you blame Montez Ford now? You're blaming Montez Ford.
Yeah, I heard about that. Like, I guess that because of LA Knight, you know, LA Knight is so popular. But
LA Knight, he's getting like a big, you know, big reaction now. Everyone loves him now.
Yep.
He's getting a big push. What about Montez Ford, man? Montez Ford paid his dues. This guy should be a main eventer by now, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't like that they put them against each other. I think they both should have qualified for the Money in the Bank. I didn't think LA Knight should have won over him. You know what I mean? Like, I think they both should advance. You know, LA Knight, I mean, he's a future WWE champion, you know, if they actually listen to the fans, you know, because he has the in-ring ability, he has the charisma, he has the mic skills. He has he won the Impact / TNA championship, you know. But WWE, man, they just kept him in the mid-card. So hopefully... Yeah. You know, they're going to give him a chance, you know. to, you know, maybe potentially win Money in the Bank. But back to the noon of champions. Oops, I mean the night of champions, since, you know, in New York it was in the afternoon when they had this match. And if you were in L.A., it would have been the morning of the champions. But since it was in Saudi Arabia, you know, it's night over there. So that's why, you know, still it's technically night of champions. Rhea Ripley, she defeated Natalya to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. Brock Lesnar defeated Cody Rhodes by making him, pass out in a submission hold.
That's another one I called. I told you Brock Lesnar would beat him this time.
Right. And then last
week. You picked Cody again, right?
Did I pick Cody?
I think I picked Brock.
I think I picked Brock, but I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to double check.
Okay.
And then you had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeat Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
And then on SmackDown, with Usos, Jimmy super kicked, Roman Reigns, you know, after the match, because he was fed up. He was fed up with, how Roman's been treating his family, you know, for over a year. So he couldn't take it no more. He finally super kicked him. And, of course, the Usos super kicked, super kicked Solo Sikoa by accident, if I'm not mistaken. And, the Owens hit the, the stunner and the, and Sammy hit the Huluva kick, which should be a hell of a kick, but, you know, for whatever reason they want to pronounce it like that, for the victory. And then on SmackDown, Roman Reigns was unveiled with the new SmackDown Undisputed Championship. And I guess that means the Raw and SmackDown belts are going to be retired with this new one. And then the Usos came out again and,
So this Universal is going to retire the Raw and the SmackDown?
What are you saying? Oh, yeah. That would be my guess, yeah.
Because I thought he already had a Universal title and he had a WWE Championship.
Right, but it looks like
so they're retiring the WWE Championship pretty much.
They're gonna retire both. Well, yeah, they're gonna make
Well, he already had a Universal. This is the new Universal, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a newer version now.
Right. So they're really eliminating the WWE Championship then, because the Universal is just a new version. So the WWE Championship is the one that's going to be eliminated in that case.
Yeah. Yes. Because okay. now it's gold, you know, gold, bedazzled in gold. It's the same belt, but it's, gold, nuggets or whatever you want to call it in.
That's pretty much
dumb.
How you going to eliminate the company belt?
Yeah. WWE, man. You gotta hand it to them. That's what they felt was the best thing to do. So that's what they did. They retired the WWE.
They should have just called it the Undisputed. Go back to calling the Undisputed title.
Well, I think that's what they're still calling it the Undisputed title. They're calling it WWE.
Oh, that's Undisputed. What they call. I thought it was just a new Universal. I thought that's what they were calling it.
No, I think they call it the WWE Undisputed title.
Oh, okay. Then that makes sense.
Let me double check, but I'm pretty sure it's WWE Undisputed Title. I think it has the same name, except it's just new Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. It's just one belt instead of two.
Okay.
And then of course they have the Raw they have the new I'm trying to remember the name
World
of it.
War
Heavyweight title. So, yeah, that's that. And then no surprise there. Solo Sikoa showed his true colors and attacked Jimmy, even though he pretended like he was going to side with his real-life brothers over his real-life cousin. But as I suspected, Solo Sikoa gave Jimmy the Samoan Spike, and Paul Heyman asked what about Jay, and Roman Reigns told Paul Heyman that, I'm trying to remember, that Jay is going to fall in line as always. So the plot thickens, you know, after Roman Reigns has at least over 1,000 years as champion. And WWE actually showed CM Punk as one of his title reign. So,
yeah,
we shall see what's going to go on with WWE as we move along. Speaking of CM Punk, it's confirmed that CM Punk is going to make his return after the controversial behind-the-scenes fight he had with the Elite. He's going to make his return in Chicago for the all-new AEW Collision show. That's going to be the new Live Saturday show. And yeah, basically that's going to be the new show for AEW. Let me see. Well, and then of course, Double or Nothing was last week. The Hardy Boys and Hook, you know, which is Taz's son, they defeated Ethan Page and the Guns, which are, you know, Austin and Colton, you know, Billy Gunn's sons. Orange Cassidy defeated Swerve Scott in the 21 Battle Royale, Blackjack Battle Royale, for the AEW International Championship. And Adam Cole defeated Chris Jericho, you know, in an unsanctioned match when the match was stopped by the referee in an unsanctioned match. Does that make sense? I don't think so. How can a referee stop an unsanctioned match? that makes almost as much sense as two Hell in the Cells in a row were stopped by disqualification by WWE a few years ago. Make that make sense. FDR defeated Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal for the AEW Tag Team Championships. The FDR retains it. Wardlow retains the AEW TNT Championship against Christian Cage. Storm defeats Jamie Hayter to become the new AEW Women's World Champion. The House of Black defeated The Acclaim and Billy Gunn in the open house rules, you know, for the six-man AEW World Trios Championship. The House of Black retains it. Jade Cargill, she defeats Taya Valkyrie, you know, John Morrison's real-life wife, to retain the AEW TBS Championship. However, after Jade Cargill became 60-0 for her career, she gets upsetted by Chris Statlander, who returned from injury and defeated Jade Cargill for her first ever loss. And now Jade Cargill is 60-0-1. And in a last second open challenge for the TBS Championship, MJF defeated Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry to retain the AEW World Championship in the four-way pillars match. And then the Blackpool Combat Club, which has Brian Danielson, Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, defeat the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt and Nick Jackson, the, you know, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Adam Page in the Anarchy in the Arena match. And also Don Callis also betrayed Kenny Omega in the Elite. And yeah, I guess that's basically it that I could think off the top of my head. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Mac, before we head out?
No, that pretty much wraps it up. I hope everyone enjoys their weekend. And come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, and check out my show, IMAC. Check your local listings for that every Saturdays at 10 p.m.
You heard the man. Check out his show, IMAC. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. But we will be back in 2 weeks. I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show. And, ladies and gentlemen, I also want to thank you all for tuning in and checking out this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.